May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. One of my favorite publications is called The Christian Century. And it comes out every 2 weeks, and it's a wonderful resource for me and my ministry. And recently, in the most recent issue, they had challenged some theologians to a contest of sorts, although there was not a prize. This was the challenge: proclaim the gospel in 7 words or less. Now think about that. That could be an interesting exercise. What would you say if someone asked you to proclaim your faith in 7 words or less? Now, some of the 7-word gospels that they came up with emphasized different things. Some of them emphasized human sinfulness and the need for God. I'll share a couple of them with you. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. Anyhow, of course, meaning no matter what, who you are, what you've done, God welcomes you. Here's another one. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. Kind of like that one. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. So whatever our no might be, whether it's of our own doing or something that happens to us, God's yes is always there for us. The shortest answer was this one: we live by grace. Pretty good, right? Some of these 7-word gospels emphasized a little bit more the unconditional love of God. And here's a couple of those. Divinely persistent, God really loves us. We are the church of infinite chances. And we are who God says we are. Meaning, our identity is not what society would say about us, or even our family, but our identity is in God. We are who God says we are. Some of these emphasized the saving work of Christ. God gets the last word. I think that's a good one. God was in Christ reconciling the world. That comes straight from Paul. That's another one. And another one that comes straight out of the scripture just about is the wall of hostility has come down. Those are all pretty good, I think. Now, some of these 7-word gospels emphasized our responsibility as Christians. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, of course, that comes right out of the scriptures, the Old Testament. And Jesus, when asked what the greatest commandment was, to love God with all your heart and mind and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And another one that emphasizes, I think, our responsibility a little more is, in Christ, God calls all to reconciliation. I think that's pretty good, too. Now, one reason I was intrigued by this, well, several reasons I was intrigued by this. Now that we have a new sign that's out there, you may have noticed or you may not have noticed, but we have a new sign, and we have a line at the bottom to either put an event down, or to, if there isn't anything particularly eventful going on that month, we have room to put something down there. So I was thinking, I wonder if any of these 7-word Gospels would really speak to the people who drive by? Would any of those catch their attention? I don't know. I'm not sure. But then I thought, you know, our faith is really, well, I'm skipping ahead. The other reason this intrigued me is because, and the young people know this better than we do, we are in a society where communication has changed dramatically. And now we have Twitter with tweets, which I don't do yet, but I know about it a little bit. We've got Facebook posts, you know, Facebook status posts. We've got one-liners. We've got everywhere you look in the media, either on computers or on the television, there's something scrolling around the bottom of the screen. So our communication in the world around us is a lot of it is reduced to one-liners or one sentence. And so maybe because of that, it's not a bad idea for us to have one, you know, 7 words to share our faith. I'm not sure. I don't think that communication, the way we are going, is necessarily a completely positive thing. And then I thought, you know, our faith is a faith of stories, really. Not headlines, but stories. Our Gospels are full of stories about Christ, and then Christ, when he taught, he told stories. That's what he did, mostly, told stories. So then I thought, well, what if you could only pick one story about Jesus to share with someone, to share your faith? What story would that be? Well, I know what story it wouldn't be. If all of us were to pick one story to show what Jesus was like to someone who did not know Jesus, I'm pretty sure none of us would pick the story of that we had in Mark's Gospel of the Gentile woman who comes to Jesus. And the reason we would not pick that story is it's not typical of Jesus in the Gospels. It's one of those stories like the cursing of the fig tree that shows us more of Jesus' humanity than most of us are comfortable with. And it's a story that people have wrestled with over the ages about this. In this story, Jesus encounters a woman who is desperate to save her daughter. And his answer to her at first catches us up short. And it also, I think, raises some questions. And this is an interesting thing to ponder. Did Jesus, who was both human and divine, of course, in a way that we cannot fully understand, so Jesus was both human and divine, did he know everything from the beginning? Did he know his mission completely from the beginning? Or was it revealed to him by God over time? I think the Gospels give us a different story. John's Gospel would say that Jesus knew everything from the beginning. The other Gospels, I think there's a case to be made that he actually received revelation and changed over time. So in this story that we had today from Mark, a Gentile woman, a non-Jewish woman, finds Jesus and begs him to heal her daughter. But basically, he tells her, his answer to her, is that she is low on the priority list. This is what he says. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Basically, he's saying his first priority is to the children of Israel, the Jewish people. But this woman is persistent. She trusts that he can help her daughter, and she sees the divine in Jesus. And so she uses his own words to make her argument. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And with that, in the story, there's a shift. Jesus tells her that her daughter is healed. And from then on, and the story also appears in Matthew a little bit differently. So in both of these Gospels, after this, Jesus' mission extends to all people, Jewish and Gentile. So no, this story is not the one I would choose if I had to choose one story that shows Jesus to the world. But in the end, he reached out, he healed her daughter, and he widened his mission to include everyone. And as good or as interesting as the 7-word or less gospel proclamations are, they are really only a first step. They can only go so far. If we really want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone who does not know Christ, we need to tell a story from our own life about how Christ has given us new life. We need to share something from our life. Perhaps a time when we walked through the valley of the shadow of death with a loved one, or had a horrible loss and found strength we did not know that we had. Or we need to share a time when we found comfort when there seemed to be none, when we found hope when there seemed to be none. We need to share a time when Christ brought light into our darkest night. So don't worry too much about finding 7 words to express the Christian faith. Just think about your own life, your very own life story, and about a time when you were touched, graced, changed by the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then take that story where Christ has met you in your life and begin to share that with others. For our faith is a living faith, and the risen Christ still meets us where we are. And the risen Christ yearns to call us all home. Amen.